Well, good evening, everyone. Today we look at Psalm 119, verse 9 to 40, as we see how to fuel a passion for God's Word in us. I shared some of these things with the youth a while ago, but these things have been challenging me again, and I need to hear these things again and again, and I think you do too. So let's first read the passage, and then we'll pray and get into it. So it's Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with my whole heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set me free. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. Let's pray. Our Father, we pause right now and recognize that we are in need of you. We need you, God, right now to pierce us with your word, to bring conviction and to challenge us. And I pray, God, that you would do this. I pray that through your Spirit you would work to bring conviction. Do it in my life, God. Do it in the life of everyone who is listening. Please, God, challenge us with your word. And I pray, God, that as we come away from this passage, that you would grow in us a passion for your word, that we would desire your word like the psalmist does here. Please grow this in us tonight, God, for your glory. Amen. If you find it easy to read God's word, you always clearly see the beauty of Christ and you constantly burn with a passion for God as you read his word, then this sermon isn't for you. But if you are like me, then this sermon is for you. If you struggle to read God's word and grow, if you see that you neglect God's word, if your mind gets so easily distracted as you sit to read God's word, if you lack a passion for God's word, then this sermon is for you. You need to hear this and do these things again and again until God's word burns in you. It must burn in us. In the psalm, in Psalm 119, verse 14 to 16, it shows the psalmist who loves God and loves his word, and he says this, Psalm 119, verse 14 to 16. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. A person who loves God loves to listen to him and follow his ways. So Christians are people who delight in God's word. They do not want to neglect it. Christians who don't want to read the Bible, who want to avoid sermons, and don't desire God's word are showing that they don't love to listen to God, and that they don't delight in his words, and that they aren't who they claim to be. If you neglect God's word, and you don't care about it, and you don't care that you neglect God's word, then be warned. So many people that I have known think they can be Christian people while they aren't Bible people. This is deadly. They spend more time listening to the news, a podcast of someone's opinion, or Netflix, or the stories of people on Facebook and Instagram. And they spend more time listening to this rather than the living words of God. They have never read through the entire Bible, and they don't want to. They may be Bible people on a Sunday. They may love the Bible on a Sunday as they listen to the sermon. But they aren't Bible people on their own during the week. They just go on the opinions of others in the Bible, and they run to just devotions and good Christian books and commentaries before and far more than they even go to the Bible. And if they do go to the Bible, they don't desire it. They don't want to focus on it. And they don't read it in a way where they enjoy it and live it and obey it. They feel nothing as they read it, and they don't change. And as well, what they have read just drifts from their mind and disappears like vapor. Is that you? Is that your relationship with God's word? At times, this can be me. Our pursuit of God's word can be so weak. We struggle with half-hearted desires for God and his word. But the Christian who loves God cannot be content with such neglecting of God's word. The Christian who loves God and loves to listen to him cannot be content if they neglect listening to his word. So we must ask, how can this change? What should we do if we have these half-hearted desires for God's word? Well, the writer of Psalm 119 had these struggles too. He had to pray desperately for how he viewed God's word and how he came to it. And we need to as well. Psalm 119, it is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about God's word. Psalm 119 shows a man who is deep in love with God's word, and he has a deep passion for God's word. The whole psalm speaks about his relationship with God's word and the worth that is in God's word. He's obsessed with God's word. Yet, he still needs to pray for his heart to desire it. The psalmist struggles to desire God's word as he should, and so he seeks that he would desire it properly. And the Christian should long for a deep passion for God's word, and they should seek it like the psalmist does. God wants his word to be set on fire in our lives, and I hope that tonight Psalm 119 will be the spark that starts this flame and sets God's word on fire in your life. Maybe you wonder why you struggle so much to read God's word. Maybe you wonder what is going to give me a passion for God's word like the psalmist has. And we're going to see here that we need to pray the prayers that the psalmist does to get the passion for God's word that the psalmist has. We need to pray the prayers that we are going to see until we have that burning passion for God's word. Pray them. Pray them until those struggles to be intimate with God are extinguished. To be effective in the Christian life, we need to be people who are burning with God's word and have his word burning in us so that we shine it out to others. You can be useful for God and live for his glory, but how can this happen? How can this happen? Well, it comes by God's word burning in us. And you need to pray for this to happen. Well, there are many prayers in this psalm, but I've tried to narrow it down to 8 that sum up all of the prayers that will help fuel a passion for God's word in us. And most of them are found in verses 9 to 40, which is where we're going to focus. And you can come back to this passage and use it as a reminder of these things and use this passage to keep praying these prayers. So, before you read God's word, as you are reading it, and after you read the Bible, pray these things until God's word burns in you. Pray, God, firstly, incline my heart to your word. Pray that your heart would be inclined to God's word. Have a look at verse 36. Psalm 119, verse 36. It says, turn or incline my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Oh, how we need to pray this. We want to run to many other things and not God's word. Our hearts are bent towards turning away from God's word and instead turning to selfish gain. We want to just do what we love and fill our time with our pursuits. And oh, how God needs to transform our hearts and turn them to him and turn them to his word. The idea here is that we are like a tree or a vine that just wants to grow up and go its own way. And God needs to use a stake in our lives and tie us to it so that we are inclined to his word. I know that I need God to mold and guide my heart so that it longs for him and his word. And we need to pray for this so that our hearts will not be bent towards so many other things in the day. Because we will naturally always run after other things and not after God's word. And so we need to pray that our hearts would be inclined to his word instead. And even when we are reading, we need to pray this. We need to pray that God would incline and turn our hearts to his word. And might start thinking of other things so quickly when we start reading. And so when your mind is all over the place, and when you don't feel like reading God's word, and you want to run to the phone, you want to run to that game, you want to veg out on the couch, or when you want to rush to just starting the day, that one's for me. When you're like that, pray this. Pray, God, my heart drifts and is so inclined to other things. Turn it to you and your word. Bend me and fix me to your word. Incline my heart and my desires and thoughts and emotions to your word. Bend and mend my mind so that I want you and can think on you. But for our hearts to be turned to God's word, something else must happen. Something else must happen. It's the second thing we must pray. We need to pray, God, turn my eyes from worthless things. Pray first, God, incline my heart to your word, but pray as well, turn my eyes from worthless things. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 29 says, keep me from deceitful ways. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. We slip into so many deceitful traps and worthless junk in this life. Our phones, they are probably one of the biggest ones. probably the biggest trap, and often the biggest piece of junk. Paul says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. I count it as rubbish that I may gain Christ. We need to see the worthless nature of so much that we pursue. It's rubbish. It's useless junk. Oh, that we would see this. That it is rubbish compared to Christ. Until you see this, you won't turn yourself to God's word, and your eyes, they're going to be clouded to seeing the beauty in Christ. So when you come to God's word, pray and also seek to remove the distractions and many thoughts you have about worthless things. You know how much you need to pray this. You know how quickly your mind runs to other things when you sit to read God's word. Oh, I feel this. I feel this in my life. I start reading a verse and then my mind drifts for who knows how long. And before I know it, the girls are waking up and I need to start getting ready for the day. And so when you are like this and your mind is drifting, pray, Lord, turn my eyes from what is worthless. Clear my head of the rubbish and fill me with your word. Help me to focus on your word, because there is life in your word. We need to turn our hearts from what is worthless, because we won't be able to see the wonder and the treasures in God's word if our eyes are fixed on the rubbish that this world offers. And this is why we also need to pray the next thing that the psalmist does. We need to pray, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Verse 18 to 19 say this. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Everything around us is so bright and attractive. This world and Satan dangle so many things that look amazing. And so we struggle to see God and to see his beauty in the word. But we need to realize that there are wonders and gems in God's word. Every verse is full of them if we just open our eyes and take time to look. If we just pray that God would reveal them to us, then there are treasures for us to see that are beyond compare. And we need to see them. We need to see them, because when we see them, we will hunger for God and we will be set on fire for him and we'll have a passion for him if only we would see them. The psalmist in this chapter, he has shown the worth and the wonder that is in God's word. And yet he still has to pray that he would see these things, that his eyes would be open to these things, and that his heart would be inclined to them. This is the nature of our sin. We have something so wonderful before us, but we fail to see it. And instead, we run to worthless rubbish. So you need to pray. As you come to God's word, pray, Lord, open my eyes to see wondrous things, to see you in your beauty. Open my heart, God. I want to see you. Do not hide your word from me, but show me your glory. And as you pray this, we need to work hard. You need to work hard at opening your eyes. You need to sit with God's word. You need to read it again and again to see the links that are there in the passage, to see what the author is saying. You need to ask as you read, what glorious things does the author want me to see here about God? What does the author want me to see? To read a passage properly, you need to be asking this. What does the author want me to see? You need to ask this rather than just quickly running to and asking the question of, how can I see the gospel here? You might get a passage wrong if you just run to doing that. You might miss the weight of what that author is saying if you do that and just run to the gospel. You need to first ask, what is the author wanting me to see? And so think about the passage. Think. Open your eyes. What does the author want you to see? And pray as well that God would open your eyes to see it. Next, we see in the psalm, the psalmist prays that God would teach his word to him. And we need to pray that. We need to pray, God, teach me your word. Psalm 119, verse 12 says, praise be to you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. Verse 26, I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Verse 68, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. And verse 124 to 125, deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. And there are many more. We need to plead with God for understanding. And the psalmist does this again and again. And I know that sometimes we don't go to God's word because we don't understand it, or we don't think that we will when we go to it. But we need to realize that the Bible was written to be understood and used every day by ordinary people. But unfortunately for the so-called Christian, it often isn't. It often is neglected. Don't neglect it. Come to it. It was written to be understood. And don't, as you come to it, don't overcomplicate things. And don't do away with what the author says. Normally, the face value, plain reading of a passage is right and what the author is trying to show us. Often it's our preconceived ideas that make us get things wrong and make us try to fit in ideas into a text and means the text gets completely blown up. And so we need to come to the Bible simply accepting the hard things that God is saying. We need to come to the Bible more like an 8-year-old who just accepts what is said, and reads it simply. And as well, we need to come as we come, and when we struggle to understand, we need to pray and ask for God's help. God wants us to understand. He can give us insight. He has given us His Holy Spirit so that we can understand. So ask for help. Pray and ask that God would give you understanding. Pray, God, teach me your word. Show me what you are saying. Help me to not take things in a wrong way. Give me an understanding according to your word. But it doesn't just stop at teaching and understanding. In this psalm, the psalmist wants understanding so that he can meditate and obey God's word. And then the next two prayers that we're going to see. The fifth thing that we see the psalmist prays is, he prays, God, give me understanding so that I may meditate on your wonders. Verse 27, it says, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Pray that God would give you understanding of His word so that you can meditate on it. What is meditation? What is it to meditate on the word? Well, the word to meditate means to utter or speak something. And so to meditate on the Bible is to speak it again and again to ourselves. It is to chew on it again and again, speaking to ourselves about God's word and how it challenges us. As you read, you need to pause and think on God's word until He gives you insight and until it burns in you. You need to think and ponder and speak God's word into your life. That is what it is to meditate on it. So many Christians are useless and ineffective in their service for God. They don't grow, and they don't grow others around them. And it's because they don't chew on the bread of life, They don't meditate on God's word. They don't savor the spiritual food of God's word that can give life, that can transform us and save people. If you want to be passionate for God, feed on the bread of life. Feed on the bread of his word, which is the only thing that can energize a passion for him. Chew on it again and again, trying to get every bit of sustenance out of God's word as you read it. Think on that one verse or that one word and how it fits and what God is saying and why he wanted that verse there. Think on it. Think. Even on the words that you think are unimportant, or even on the verses that you think you've read so many times and understand so well, think on them and pray. Pray, Lord, give me understanding so that I may meditate on your word. Help me to think on your word and reveal your truth to me. Cause your word to permeate every part of my mind, God, and every corner of my life. And then 6, we need to pray, God, give me an understanding of your word that brings obedience. Pray first, God, give me an understanding that causes me to meditate on your word. But now, God, give me an understanding of your word that brings obedience. Psalm 119, verse 33 to 35 says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and it should say the word that there, that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. In verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. When you pray and when you read God's word, you must pray that those things you read wouldn't just stay as knowledge. You need to pray hard that it would transform you. You need to pray that you would understand so that you do actually obey. If you read and it does nothing in your life, that is useless and pointless reading. Instead, pray and plan how it should change you. God's word is to transform us. It is designed to equip us to obey God and to serve him. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Ken Ramey suggests here from this verse that we need to ask the following questions from passages as we read them, and I think they are so helpful to ask. He says, we need to ask, what did I learn? That comes from the idea at the beginning of the verse that says in 2 Timothy that God's word is useful for teaching. So we need to ask, what did I learn? And then we need to ask, he says, where do I fall short? That comes from the point of reproof. And then he says, we need to ask, what do I need to do about it? That's because 2 Timothy said, God's word is useful for correcting. So what do I need to do about it? And then the fourth question, how can I make this a consistent part of my life? That's the idea behind training. You need to do this as you read God's word so that you would seek to obey it and live it and let it transform your life. And also, you need to pray like the psalmist does, particularly in verse 34, that God would give you understanding so that you would live out his word. Well, the seventh prayer that we see here is the psalmist prays, God, keep your word near me. God, keep your word near me. We see this at the beginning of our passage, verse 9 to 11. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And verse 43 says, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. We need to ask God to not let us stray or wander from his word, but instead to help us live by it and to keep us near it. And the way God does this is by storing it up in us. Our lives can be guarded and kept pure when God's word is memorized and used in the moments we need it. So pray, God, keep your word near to me. Store up your word in my life. Do not let me wander from it. Help me to memorize it so that my life may be guarded by it. We need to pray that. But also, don't just pray this, but seek to memorize God's word. The psalmist says that God would keep him from straying from his word. He prays for that. The psalmist prays that God would keep him from straying from his word. But at the same time, the psalmist is storing up God's word in his life. How are you doing at storing God's word up in your life? At hiding his word in your heart? Without Bible memorization, we can't have the Bible meditation that needs to happen every day. Psalm 1 says that we are to meditate on God's word day and night. If we aren't memorizing God's word, we can't meditate on God's word day and night. Memorization fuels meditation on God's word. It allows us to live according to God's word in each day. Memorizing verses isn't just for kids. We, as Christians, need it desperately to fight sin and to endure in the Christian race. And we neglect this today. We neglect memorization so much because we have access to everything. We have access to everything right here in our pocket, on our phone. And this is destroying our minds, and we think we can't memorize because of this. But I want you to know that you can memorize God's word. It doesn't take much. If you just read a verse 5 times, again and again, 5 times in a row, and then try to say it 5 times without looking, you'll probably know that verse. And you'd be able to move on then to the next one. In 1 hour, if you set aside 1 hour of focused memorization of God's word, you would be surprised what you could remember. You'd probably be able to remember 10 to 20 verses. I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to set aside time to memorize God's word. And I challenge you, church, to do this together. Let's do this together. Maybe let's start with this passage here, Psalm 119, verse 9 to 40, and let's memorize it together. Let's learn these verses together. If you set aside 5 to 10 minutes each day to learn maybe one verse, you'd be able to remember that whole passage in a month. So let's do this together. Let's seek to memorize God's word and then use this passage as we memorize it to pray over our desire for God's word. And then finally, the last prayer here that we see in the psalm that I want to draw out is this prayer that he prays. He prays, God, give me life in your word. Give me life in your word. Verse 25 says, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me, he prays, according to your word. Verse 37 says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. God can give life, true spiritual life. He can save, and he uses his word to do it. James chapter 1 says that God's word is able to save our souls. God can truly satisfy through his word. There is life, there is strength and delight in God's word. And that's why the psalmist prays for these things from God's word. He prays for life from it. He prays for strength. And we see the psalmist delight in God's word. So you need to pray that you would be satisfied with God. and the wonders that you see in His Word. You need to pray that you would see His Word as life and not everything else. That you would be satisfied in His Word, not satisfied with everything else that you can have in life, with good friends maybe, or family, or thrills from the latest hobby or toy that you have, but be satisfied with God and the true life that is found in Him and His Word. So pray this over God's Word as you come to read it. Pray, Lord, help me to find life in Your Word. Make it my delight. Make it my strength. And satisfy me with You in Your Word. Well, if you struggle to read God's Word and want to find delight in it and want to have a passion for God's Word like the psalmist does, then pray these prayers that the psalmist does. Pray these things daily to ignite in you a passion for God's Word. I need to. I have to do this when I come to God's Word. Otherwise, it will become so dull in my life. And as you pray these things, seek to do them in your life, as we've been seeing throughout. At each point, I made the challenge to pray the prayer that the psalmist does, but I also gave the challenge to do those things. And that is what we need to do. Yes, we need to pray them, but we also need to do them. We need to turn our heart to God's Word. We need to turn our eyes from worthless things. We need to open our eyes to the wonders that are in God's Word. We need to seek understanding. We need to meditate on God's Word. We need to obey what it says. We need to memorize it. And we need to find life in it and be satisfied by it. And we need to pray that God would do those things as well. Pray and do these things until God's Word boils up in you. Don't let go of God's Word until it is set on fire in you and until you are transformed by it and until you are ready to share that with others. We need to be people that would be gripped by God's Word like the psalmist. We need to be a people that have a burning passion for God's Word so that we can be useful for God's kingdom in spreading His Word. So may you read God's Word and may you think on it and may you pray over God's Word until it comes to life in you and until it burns in you and until you have a passion for God and a passion for His Word. May you pray these things. Pray these things that we see in Psalm 119 and go back to verses 9 to 40 to remind yourself of them and pray those things until God's Word is burning in you and you delight in God's Word and you want to run to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the psalmist. We thank You for his desire for Your Word and we pray, God, that we would grow to be like Him. We pray that through Your Spirit, You would do this work in us. We know that this is the only way it is possible. We thank You, God, that by Your grace, You have saved us and You have made us born again and that we are new creatures with Your Spirit now. We thank You, God, that through Your Spirit, You can ignite a desire for Your Word in us. You can give us understanding of Your Word through Your Spirit. You can do these things, God, and so we pray that You would. And I pray, God, that You would really help us to use these prayers that the psalmist prays in our life. May we pray them when we are dull and when we aren't desiring Your Word as we should. May we not be content with such a weak desire for Your Word, but may we pray and hunger to love Your Word and delight in it like the psalmist does. Please grow us in this, God, and transform us for Your glory. Amen.